Wardrop 2. Was your journey from Felixstowe to Eastchurch uneventful?
Well, when you say uneventful, it, as a matter of fact, I was put in charge of the other four people, I think it's four, and we decided to have a weekend in London. And I promptly gave them permission to go on leave, and I went on leave myself, thinking I was entitled to do this, as being the weekend, and one couldn't do much at the East Church the weekend. Because when I arrived, or when we arrived in East Church on the Monday, I was promptly told that I shouldn't do such a thing. And not done in the service, obviously, but whether it's me or in frankness or my face, I don't know, but the Master of Arms, he certainly left me off the caution and told me never to do such a thing again, which, of course, I did not, but very fortunate not to be punished for doing that.
What was actually at East Church? What was the station doing that you'd been sent to?
It was a gunnery school, actually, to train men and gun laying, pistol work, of course, and bomb dropping, and both aerial work as far as Lewis guns were concerned. And from East Church, incorporated, that was going to Portsmouth, from which we had to use all kinds of guns, from the small guns to 12 pounders. There's a 6 week course, first of all, with the Navy, and we sent out to a place called Whale Island, actually in Portsmouth, but we were sent out to sea on one of His Majesty's ships, Vestral, I think the name was, and we fired these 12 pounder guns. That's all a part of our training. Nobody ever be called upon to fire a 12 pounder gun from an aeroplane, and it couldn't possibly be visualized, but it's just a part of our training, and we're there 6 weeks.
What sort of hours did you work?
At Portsmouth? Quite simple hours, really, from about 9 a.m. until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Was this different from your hours at Felixstowe?
Oh, yes, very different, definitely. The more or less set hours at 9 till 4, and with such a tremendous amount of free time, of course, every evening. Whereas at Felixstowe, we never knew when we were going to be free, really, and called upon. A different kind of duty. One was more or less educational and training, and the other one, of course, was more or less on duty. So just two different aspects of the life in the service, you see.
Did you live and mess in Whale Island in Excellent, or did you have to find accommodation somewhere?
Well, we had accommodation, of course, for sleeping, that's all, but of course we had the messes at in Whale Island, at Whale Island, the message ship Excellent. We lived more or less on board there, you see, for the main meals.
Was the accommodation arranged, or did you have to find
yourself? Both. Well, they arranged, told us where to go, more or less, and then these landladies in Commercial Road, Portsmouth, I think, if I remember rightly, where we stayed. It was quite kind, very, very comfortable indeed. And we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves at Portsmouth, I must say. More as a holiday as far as we were concerned.
Did you have to take exams?
Oh yes, practically every day. On the work you did, the next day you'd be questioned about it, see how far you'd assimilated the knowledge, and if you're interested enough to continue. I think personally what would happen, in fact, everybody didn't pass. Everybody didn't pass out as a reservist, obviously. They're just told, you know, that, perhaps you best put you back and try again, as it were. But you really had to be keen to get through, and they just didn't want anybody unless you were keen enough to do what you're told, and to make sure that you're trained properly, of course. Which, when you now looking back, was really important, because not only did you have to depend on your own initiative, but you had probably another crew with you, so you all depend upon each other. So you really had to be well trained and at the same time keen to do your duty properly, and there's no good just doing any half measures about it. It's too important to take that sort of attitude of mind, and everybody realised that, of course.
Did Did you find that your pre-war pre-war knowledge of electrical matters help you when it
No, not at all. But the only thing that helped me personally in the service was that I was very keen on athletics. I mean, I played football before I joined. I played football even in the service for the RAF, of course, in those days, all that sort of thing. And that certainly did help, because you're able to, well, to be one of a team again, you see. It's all teamwork as far as I was concerned. And that carried me on through life, I might say, because I was very keen even in business as a teamwork. Always have been, and I'm well known for, I was well known in the business for that. I believe in teamwork.
Did you then go from Whale Island at the end of the 6 weeks course at Whale Island, which now would put you sort of about in the middle of October 1960?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Did you go back to East Church?
Yes, for aerial work then, for bomb drop-in and gun work and so forth, Lewis gun work, you see.
What was your journey back to East Church uneventful?
Well, we tried, of course, to get a permission for a weekend again in London, you see, and not very fortunate. Well, in fact, we were unfortunate, and the authorities of Portland said they couldn't possibly give us leave because we're not on their jurisdiction. So we promptly then telephoned to the commanding officer at the gunnery school at East Church for permission. And before we knew where we were, they said, oh yes, you can have a weekend. So we went back again then to the people at Portsmouth to ask them to make out our passes. And of course, unfortunately for all of us, that we'd no right, of course, to get in communication with the CO at East Church. But nevertheless, we were told the Master of Arms and everybody else at Portsmouth that we were given leave to have a weekend in London, and we were going to have a weekend in London. But finally we did get the passes. That was all right in London, of course. When we arrived at East Church, that wasn't so good, because again we were told that we shouldn't have done such a thing. And we said, well, we got permission this time to have a weekend in London. It wasn't me giving permission, we had permission from the CO. And then we were again charged the next day, because we communicated with a commanding officer at one station without getting permission from the commanding officer at Portsmouth. And of course, the game were in trouble immediately, so whatever you did, you couldn't probably do anything right. So that's both ways, going to East Church. In the first case, I gave permission for a weekend. Second, we thought we'd had permission, but we hadn't, or we had, but we done the wrong way around, so we got trouble again. So I can only say that going to East Church and coming away from East Church, or vice versa, going to East Church, on both occasions we got the trouble by having weekends in London. But nevertheless, we had a good time in London. So,
what punishment was imposed?
Well, we used to call it 10A in the service, and that comprised of all kinds of duties, like scrubbing floors with a brick, or silly roof sweeping up roads, and if they couldn't find your job that way, or whitewashing walls, they'd run you around the what they call the quarter deck, and they'd report every half an hour, and it'd be up at 5:30 in the morning, and wouldn't get allowed to get to bed till 9 o'clock at night, and you had no pay. Simple as that.
And this wasn't. But the weekend in London was worth it.
Oh, well, as far as we were concerned, yes, we had a weekend in London. We all enjoyed it, because we settled down then to get settled down to what we came down to East Church for, namely gun laying and bomb dropping. We were all anxious to get to pass the various examinations and see how proficient we were.
When you travelled through London on these occasions, did civilians and passers-by show much enthusiasm for
Oh yes, we used to look at you nation up, and let's be frank about it, without boasting, we're very proud of our uniform. It was a naval uniform, you know, and the white, especially in the summertime, you know, white cap covers, and we're very proud of it, let's be frank about it. And of course, later on when we passed out and had our breviary or wings, you know, we're more proud than ever, of course. But I think right the way through, as far as I can remember, any time in London or anywhere else, that people were very keen to do all they possibly could to make your life pleasant. And then we all, well, trying to do a certain work. But
at East Church, could you describe the methods by which the training aerial gunnery and
yes,
bombing
well,
is carried out?
First of all, for instance, what we call bomb dropping. On the machine itself was a disc or a toggle, which you send the man toward the lever, this disc would move. Now down below, as far as I was concerned, I had a mirror, which would divide into squares, both horizontally and long and vertically, on this mirror in squares, which, if I remember correctly, was about 10 feet, represented 10 feet distance, both left to right, as it were, or direct on the target in the centre. And as he came over 1,000 feet, he would then pull his disc that would move, and I would pinpoint it on the mirror and give him marks accordingly, and mark his the papers, of course, for the result. And he'd do that 3 or 4 times. I think 4 times, if I remember rightly, at each height, for 1,000 and 2,000 was the final examination, you see. Well, that was more or less a trial, and he kept on with this until he became more or less efficient to get nearer the target each time, and he was told that he had to do better than this, or he had to practice more, or do this and do that, and what he was doing wrong, you see. Well, then, after that, we had a target comprising just old aeroplane wings in the form of a cross, which would be about 10 feet by 10 feet, I suppose, in the form of a cross. And then they dropped 25-pound bombs, dummies, by the way, comprised of old nuts and bolts and so forth. And I was standing on the target and watched these come down. Of course, it's obvious where they fell, because they could not only see where they were, but they could also come down and see them afterwards. And the women just put a peg in, as it were, wherever they fell, you see. So if it's yours, it was much of Martin Bryce. Well, Martin Bryce's peg would go in, that would get the bomb, and when he came down, you'd see then how far it was away from the target, you see. And I'd say the examinations, just going back a long way now, but I think I'm right in saying that 4 bombs from each height was the final examination. Now, for loose gun work, of course, we only target, ground targets first. You went through the Lewis gun, of course, and all kinds of faults and stoppages and that sort of thing. You had to become proficient in that. Then after that, of course, you had a few shots, sometimes at balloons from an aeroplane. There's another part of the examination that went on. But the main thing was, on the groundwork, this Lewis gun, you had to become absolutely proficient, not only in getting on the target, but also rectifying faults, which took place. Because you'd have to, we often used to put faults on. I mean, we'd either a bent cartridge and so forth, faults, made sure there's a fault on, you see. Or sometimes miss a few bullets from the pan, so it becomes blank because of everything is tough, you see. And it's all part of the training. And at the end of this course, of course, you either pass out or you wouldn't. It depended on your averages throughout the course. It wasn't just a question of just one examination. It was a series of examinations. And I think behind that too, without doubt, that you're watched by the medical officer, for instance, and the other officers, the way you behaved and the attitude of mind, and whether you to mix in with people. The whole thing was based on that, you see. And it wasn't until the end of the course that you were told whether you passed or not. Well, before that, of course, I had wasn't more successful, but so far they made me into a staff man, which, again, I wasn't sure that I wanted, but I just had to have it, you see.
when you were by the target, made of aircraft wings, how close to this did you stand?
Well, I don't want to on it. You see it coming down anyway.
Was there much danger involved.
Oh, no, no explosion, you see. Then it's just watching it. It's like a cricket ball. I mean, just watch it all the time. Make sure that you don't take your, well, the old maximum, you don't take your eye off the ball, do you? I mean, that's a point. Make sure you've got them in line, you see. Unless something silly that drops two at once, then you've got to watch out, you see. But we were very, always ready for it, you know. And sometimes I had an assistant there too, you see, one of them on my own, the shelter. But we enjoyed it. I mean, it's quite safe and quite, you know, dangerous as far as that's concerned.
When you said that the for a gunnery you would shoot at balloons, what sort of balloons were they? Just little sort of weather?
Yes, little balloons, yes. Oh, yes. But we didn't do much of that, if I remember right. We didn't do much at all. We didn't pursue that so much. It was mostly groundwork.
Well, was there ever a target suspended from a large kite balloon?
No, we did. I think they started that from one dragging the other, you know, one machine following up the other. But we didn't do much, as far as I remember. Didn't remember doing too much of that either. But went out to sea sometimes and fired. But ground, you know, more or less targets anchored, you see. But there was a certain amount of aerial gunnery. But mostly, if you say the gunnery side, it was mostly on the ground to make sure you're quick and efficient. The bomb dropping was obvious. You had to do that from the air.